The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. "As for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text today is the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes you just want to give up. It could be something at work, a problem that just doesn't get resolved. Maybe it's an irritating coworker that doesn't do his job, and your boss doesn't care, and then you have to pick up the slack. Or it could be worse. It could be somebody who has his gun sights pointed at you, and no matter what you do, he makes you look bad in front of your boss and friends, and he wants to get rid of you and is getting close to succeeding. Sometimes you just want to give up. It could be something in your marriage. You confront your spouse with some misbehavior, and he or she says they will stop doing it or improve, but it doesn't happen. Many times in a marriage, it could be something your spouse isn't doing. In a marriage, it could be any number of things that simply drive you crazy. Why can't a woman think like a man, or why can't a man think or even try to think like a woman? Sometimes you just want to give up. Could be something at school that just keeps getting worse. The girls are picking on you, the guys are pushing you around, or worse, they just ignore you altogether. Or there's a required course that you're just not getting. And you keep beating your head against the wall, seeing a tutor, doing extra credit, and you're still not making progress. Sometimes you just want to give up. Your body doesn't work the way it used to. I'm 62, so I'm beginning to feel that too. You know what I'm talking about. Any little strain or exertion, and then you have pain for weeks. Or your medication is not doing what it's supposed to do. Or the doctor says this is something he can't fix. You just have to live with it for the rest of your life. Or the doctor says you have so many months to live. And then you really just want to give up. Jesus told a parable in our gospel lesson this morning that was intended precisely for those days when you just want to give up. Verse 1 says that Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. In a nutshell, that's what this gospel is about. Always pray, don't lose heart, never give up praying. The story revolves around a justice or judge who was not just. In the United States, as in most civilized countries, we elect judges to enforce the law and to mediate between contesting parties. We expect judges to know the law and to be dedicated to fairness. Trials are in the public realm, so that if a judge is not fair, public pressure will arise so that he either changes his ruling or he is removed from office. We really have one of the best judicial systems in the world. And part of the success of America is that its judges are fair in the vast majority of cases. But this has not always been so. The judicial court of the Sanhedrin that ruled in Jesus' case ordered the death of an innocent man. This was the testimony of Pontius Pilate against the Jewish judges. And you know, Pilate was not much better. He allowed the death of an innocent man due to public pressure and internal politics. In the ancient days of the Greeks and Romans, the ideal of a just judge was set forth by both Plato and Aristotle, but the reality was often far from the ideal. So in Jesus' parable, we have something that the people are used to seeing, an unjust judge making a ruling that's unfair and that most likely affected the livelihood of a widow. And this was not a close call. This was far from the mark of justice. The unjust judge had probably accepted a bribe from the man who received the widow's property. The widow had no recourse for appeal or public pressure through newspapers. Her only recourse was to pester the judge night and day, and she did that on a regular basis. After a while, it says that the widow, we might put it this way, got on the judge's nerves. He couldn't sleep at night. He lost his appetite. The widow started reminding him of his mother-in-law who was deceased. Finally, the judge said, "I will give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming to me." And he changed the ruling so that what belonged to the widow finally came to her. Jesus then explains the parable. It is an argument from the lesser to the greater. If an unjust judge grants the request of a petitioner because she keeps on petitioning day and night, how much more will a righteous judge grant the request of a petitioner? And a petitioner is one who prays. We use the word petition when we talk about prayers. The righteous judge is God, who judges between all men and women, both now and in eternity. Will a righteous judge delay justice? Certainly not. And so, verse 7, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. That's the words of Jesus. This sermon of Jesus applies not only to cases of injustice, but also to all causes of evil in our life. In the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Deliver us from evil." What does this mean? You remember the small catechism explanation? It says, we pray in this petition, as in a summary, that our Father in heaven may deliver us from all manner of evil, whether it affect body or soul, property or reputation, and that at last, when the hour of death comes, he may grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this world of sorrow to himself in heaven. In the Large Catechism explanation to the last petition, Luther explains that evil really refers to the devil, who is our adversary. That means in the parable, putting ourselves into the parable, we believers are the widow and the devil is her adversary in God's court. And here is what Luther states in the Large Catechism at that petition. This petition includes all the evil that may befall us under the devil's kingdom: poverty, shame, death, and in short, all the tragic misery and heartache of which there is so incalculably much on earth. Since the devil is not only a liar, but a murderer, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injury to our bodies. He breaks many a man's neck and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns, and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing we on earth can do but pray constantly against this archenemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour. Thus you see how God wants us to pray to him for everything that affects our bodily welfare and directs us to seek and expect help from no one but him. But this petition he has put last. For if we are to be protected and delivered from all evil, his name must first be hallowed among us, his kingdom come among us, and his will be done. Then he will preserve us from sin and shame and from everything else that harms or injures us. End of quote from the Large Catechism. At the end of our gospel, Jesus asks the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's a good question. There will probably be many people who call themselves Christians and others who think that they are so. But will there be Christians who believe the promise of Jesus in this gospel, that God will answer our prayers in due time and give us relief from our adversary, the devil? Will there be Christians who believe in the promise of the forgiveness of sins and righteousness through Jesus? Do you believe those promises of Jesus? May our Lord grant you his Holy Spirit through hearing his word, receiving his sacraments, so that you may believe that God truly does answer prayer and will deliver you from evil in his time and in his way. In Jesus' name, amen.